If I appear to weep today, it's not because I'm stirred emotionally, but because I have a sty in my right eye, which I call my Sunday visitor. Who, what, when, where, and why? These are the five W's, well known to students of journalism and law enforcement as the things that must be established to understand any human behavior. Aristotle was the first person to work through these essential elements of human behavior over 300 years before the birth of Christ. And I propose to use these categories today to help us understand what is happening in the gospel taken from chapter 21 of St. Matthew. So, who is speaking and to whom? The Lord Jesus, of course, is speaking to the chief priests and the elders of the people, that is, the religious authorities of his day. What is Jesus doing? He is attempting to teach the chief priests and the elders something essential about the kingdom of heaven. When did this happen? Probably in Holy Week. I say probably because we cannot be sure from the text, because Matthew begins chapter 21 of his gospel with Palm Sunday, but Good Friday does not arrive until chapter 26. And much of the teaching of the Lord Jesus spoken over 3 years of his public ministry is spread by Matthew through these six chapters for narrative reasons. But today's exchange probably did come during Holy Week for reasons we'll see shortly. Where did this happen? In Jerusalem, in the temple area. And why did this happen? Because the Lord Jesus was approaching the hour for which he came into the world, and these men, these religious authorities, had an essential role to play in his suffering and death. Christ welcomed this conflict with them because the time had come for him to die. Chapter 21 of Matthew's Gospel opens with Palm Sunday and the entry of Jesus into the holy city. Matthew tells us that when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds, that is, the ones who cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," replied, "This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." The next passage in chapter 21 is Jesus cleansing the temple and thereby enraging and humiliating the religious authorities. Then comes the cursing of the fig tree as a means of teaching his disciples about the power of faith. And together, these three events, his triumphant entry into the city, the cleansing of the temple, and the cursing of the fig tree, provoke the chief priests and elders to question Jesus about his authority. And that comes in the passage just before this morning's gospel. They demand to know by what authority he presumes to teach and act, and from where he received that authority. After all, he was not an accredited rabbi. Jesus agrees to tell them where his authority comes from, but only on the condition that they first answer a question about the authority of John the Baptist. "Where was John's baptism from?" Jesus asks them. "Was it of heavenly or human origin?" But the chief priests and elders will not answer, because if they acknowledged John, whom they rejected, to be an authentic prophet, then they revealed themselves to be opposed to God. But if they insist that John spoke only for himself, then they will arouse the hatred of the crowds who first followed John and now follow Jesus, acclaiming him the Son of David. And so, since they will not answer the question of Jesus about the authority of John, he will not answer their question about his own authority. And now we come to today's parable of two sons. The first son grumbles at his duty and seems to reject it, but eventually does what his father asked, while his brother pays lip service to their father, but remains disobedient. Which of the two did his father's will? Jesus asked the chief priests and the elders. The first, they answered correctly. But he knows what's in their heart, and so now comes their rebuke from the Son of David. A man, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet, even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him. Perhaps you noticed in the news this week that an Italian cardinal named Giovanni Angelo Becciu was dismissed by Pope Francis as the head, ironically enough, of the department which handles the canonization of saints. And the reason for Becciu's firing seems to be years of major financial misconduct on his part. Adding even more irony to this disgrace, Becciu is the same man who frustrated the efforts of Cardinal George Pell to straighten out the Vatican's finances. And it is not inconceivable that Pell's later legal troubles in his native Australia were organized by Italian mobsters who wanted Pell out of Rome and out of their way, and who for years had profited from dishonest deals with corrupt men like Becciu. All of which means that the flaws in human nature are constant, whether we're talking about the chief priests of the Jerusalem Temple or cardinals of the Holy Roman Church. And the judgment of the Savior remains the same. Tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. And here's the point for us. The difference between talking and acting, between saying and doing, is at the very heart of the gospel. And the Lord Jesus made clear in many ways that in the kingdom of heaven, religious outcasts would come before religious authorities if their hearts were moved to conversion and repentance by the preaching of the Word of God, preaching like that of John the Baptist. But those who quibble over authority rather than attend to the truth which sets us free from slavery to sin and death, cannot hear that liberating word, and therefore may be lost, unless, like tax collectors and prostitutes, they come to understand their complete dependence on the mercy of God in Christ. And that is what today's second lesson is about. If we're to stand in the kingdom one day, we must learn from Christ's self-emptying love how to put others first and to live simply and peacefully in the truth of the Word made flesh. This requires of us a willingness to carry the cross and to follow the Lord Jesus in the obedience of faith. And that is a grace of conversion for which we should pray. For ourselves, for men like Cardinal Becciu, and for all who need to hear the liberating truth of the Word of God. St. Paul wrote to the Philippians that if there is any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility, count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself and took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. He was known to be of human estate, and it was thus that he humbled himself, obediently accepting even death, death on a cross. Because of this, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend, in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord,